Sports fans, you're staring at your weekly fantasy opponent and thinking to yourself, I would love to challenge just one of his players, not his entire team. But your fantasy sports service doesn't allow you to. Now you can on the all-new No Halftime app. The No Halftime app allows you to create individual challenges using players or teams. For example, you can pit Steph Curry versus LeBron James, Kevin Durant versus James Harden, or Sasha Vujacic versus Nikola Vucevic. Creating a challenge takes seconds, and accepting challenges is even easier. No halftime challenges can be private or public and created for the NBA, NFL, MLB, NHL, college football, college basketball, and other sports. Join today and get started. Real money and fantasy supremacy awaits you. Visit NoHalftime.com for more information and to download the No Halftime app for your iPhone. Receive a $10 bonus by entering in the promo code COACH at signup. No Halftime, where the fantasy sports season never takes a break. You in? Sports fans, I want to give a warm welcome to the newest members of our podcast team. The Super Hoopers offer a not-so-serious yet enlightening discussion on the NBA, and it's brought to you by Matt Hill and John Hill, who are clearly brothers from another mother. I'm in.
Have you ever been to a volcano?
When it was erupting?
You're now listening to Super Hoopers.
They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game.
Super Hoopers!
It's pretty. It's so pretty.
We just won a fucking
ball! That's what you said, man.
Well, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about
Super Hoopers!
That's terrible.
Welcome to the Super Hoopers podcast, part of the B-Ball Breakdown Network. I am your host, Matt Hill, and with me, as always, is my brother in basketball, John Hill. John, do you still have a job?
I have a job.
You have not been fired yet.
I have not been fired yet.
As we record this, February 8th, 2016, reports are George Carl will be fired soon. I don't know. There's not much to say that about this beyond that the Kings are a mess and probably need to figure out the front office situation, before they figure out their next coach. But also Derek Fisher lost his job. Do you think that was deserved?
I feel worse about Derek Fisher because
do you like Derek Fisher? No one likes Derek Fisher.
No, but like he probably likes that job.
Yeah, well, of course.
Like
it's
he
an
probably
NBA coach,
loved
you're
that
making
job.
A lot of money.
Yeah, but he probably loves coaching at Madison Square Garden. He gets to work under Phil, got some good pieces. It's probably an enjoyable job.
That's not a criteria to judge a job, whether or not someone loves it. I mean, yeah, you could love being a movie star, but that doesn't mean you should be a movie star.
No. I'm saying I feel bad for him. Where George Carl, like...
But he's so hateable, John. You don't hate Derek Fisher? I mean, I think Derek Fisher is like... He's like someone who... should have gone to Duke. Like he has like a Duke vibe to him. Like he just seems so clean cut but so dead on the inside.
I'm saying I feel bad. Like I always feel bad that people lose their jobs.
You're too nice, John. You're way too nice.
Well, you know, you have plans. Maybe he just bought he repainted his house or things like that. Maybe his kids are in school. I don't know.
I have to remind you every episode that these are not real people. These are characters in a soap opera that we follow. Quit thinking of them as just real human beings, okay?
No.
Derek Fisher is a villain.
All right, fine. Derek Fisher is a villain. But the point I'm trying to make is Derek Fisher is probably upset. George Carl is getting $10 million to not hang out with the Kings anymore. That is the dream scenario. If you told me, here's $10 million, never hear about the Kings again, that'd be the best. That'd be the absolute best. That is like Derek, George Carl is living the dream. He's the most.
There should be a way to be able to block out certain teams from your NBA consumption. Like, just I don't want to see another article about this team. I don't want to watch another game with this team. I actually like the Kings. I find the drama around the Kings interesting, hilarious. So they would not be one of my blackout teams. And in the interest of, not pissing off fan bases, I won't say, what my blackout teams would be. But don't you think, but Derek Fisher's getting, I assume he has a contract. I assume he's getting paid to not coach the Knicks. Oh, you're saying like it's so much better to be at MSG and, you know, be around the limelight and everything like that. You actually feel bad for him losing the job.
Yeah, because that's like a fun job.
Right.
Like you, right now, you're not, you wouldn't want to hang out with Chris Stapps at MSG and then,
oh,
and
oh,
then let,
to be,
and then give Carmelo the ball once in a while and, you know.
Of course. I think coaching bad. The Knicks, I think coaching the Lakers would be the best job, and then coaching the Knicks would be the number two job in terms of just overall glamour franchises.
Oh, yeah.
But why, I mean, why do you think they fired him now instead of waiting till the end of the year? Why not just let him finish out the year, right? I mean, the players must have either really not liked him or Phil must have not liked him.
I think that must have been the case because there's a lot of good coaches without jobs right now.
Tom Thibodeau, who else?
You got D'Antoni, you got Luke Walton, you
hey,
know.
John, D'Antoni has a job. He's with the 76ers.
Yeah, but he's,
John,
he's
for those
still
of you don't, for those of you who are just listening to the podcast or first listening to the podcast, John's a huge 76ers fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wearing a hat right now.
Yeah, wearing the Sixers hat on the pod.
You know, you got your Vinny Del Negro's hanging around.
Dude, Vinny Del Negro is not a good coach. Man, I thought it was shameless. Vinny Del Negro goes on the Woj podcast.
I love it.
Then he goes on Zach Lowe's podcast. And in both podcasts, he's just like openly campaigning for a job.
Love
like
it.
He's not even answering the questions. He's just speaking in coach cliches every single thing. And he's essentially bragging, like he was just bragging about the stuff he did, like, oh, we made Nick Young this great player. He got out there and he saw the stuff we're doing in the organization. Come on, Vinny. Come on. I mean,
well, like, what else is he going to do? Was he going to just update his LinkedIn? This is NBA coaches. Like, he's got to do what he's got to do. All right.
But back to the Knicks. Now, the rumor is they're going to go after Walton. Do you think they should do that, John? Do you think that's a good that would be a good hire for them?
Yeah.
I mean, so it seems like kind of a done deal. Like they're going to go hard after Walton. So the only way Walton's not the coach is if he turns it down. However, Tom Thibodeau is apparently willing to crawl to MSG to get the job.
I read that. Well, I think the one thing going against the Luke Walton is Steve Kerr turned down the Knicks. That turned out extremely beneficial.
Yeah. So you think, okay, so let's say you're Luke Walton, right? So obviously Byron Scott's going to get fired. Do you take the Lakers job or the Knicks job?
Ooh, the Knicks are probably better off being
Luke
Walton.
You think so? You would rather have Porzingis. I mean, basically, you're comparing their young talent. So, Porzingis versus D'Angelo Russell, Randall, and Clarkson. You would take Porzingis over those three guys?
Well, because you also have Carmelo.
And
you
either is done, man. Carmelo is.
Yeah,
I mean, come on, Carmelo is done.
Easily, he's at least a good player, or you could trade him for something else.
Yeah, they'll probably trade him
in the offseason. Like, you're going to get more for Carmelo than you are Julius Randle.
So you're taking the – I would take the Knicks job, too. I just think the expectations are lower. I think these Knicks fans, they're all in on Kristaps, and they're willing to, like, build with Kristaps. Like, I don't think they're going to be that much pressure on the team.
That's true, but I also think there's not much pressure on the Lakers because they're pretty bad.
All right, so speaking of the Knicks, the trade deadline is coming up. 7 days – It's about 10 days off, February 18th.
Yep,
it's February 8th now. Yeah, somewhere. So it's coming up. So I have some trades for you, John.
You got some trades?
I'm gonna pitch you some trades.
Yeah, pitch me.
You
could
tell
me.
You could tell me if I should be a GM or not.
Okay.
The answer is yes, I should be a GM.
Obviously. Very credentialed.
Yeah, very credentialed. So what I identify, I mean, I really don't think anybody has a chance this year outside of Golden State or San Antonio. Maybe the Thunder have an outside chance. So a lot of my trades center around the Clippers and the Cavs, because I feel like if you're the Clippers or the Cavs, like you need both those teams are in win now mode and they can't win now. So they need an extra piece to put them over the top, really. So my first trade I'm going to pitch to you, okay?
Okay, let's hear it.
Chris Paul. You trade Chris Paul.
Ooh.
Now, this goes the other way, actually, because this way, I think if you're the Clippers, you're saying, this team I got, Blake Griffin, he punched a dude. He's going to be out. He's probably not going to be in the playoffs. So let's trade Chris Paul. Let's sort of reset. Let's get a little younger. Let's, you know, set ourselves up better for next year and the year after that. Trade Chris Paul for Goran Dragic and Justice Winslow. Do you think that trade works for either one? Because I think the Clippers maybe get a little worse now, but You have Dragic going forward, and Winslow's just going to get better. And I think Miami with Chris Paul can make a real run in the East.
I think it's a smart trade, but I don't think the Clippers do it. Because the Clippers would be definitely saying, we're not going to win this year. We're not going to win next year. Because Winslow just needs years.
I think it may be 2 years. You set yourself off pretty nice. I think the Clippers definitely do it. If I was the Clippers, I would make this trade instantaneously because Chris Paul is, you know, on the wrong side of 30. Generally, point guards don't age well. So I think I think it's a question if Miami would do it. Really, is where it's tough. I think the Clippers might
Miami
have to
throw would it. Absolutely do it.
You think so?
Oh,
okay. Well, then I think it's a good trade.
Dragic isn't playing well at all.
Okay, so this next trade, I have this
good
next
trade though.
For you.
Good trade.
Oh, thanks. You know, I'm right. You know, I've been.
Right. That's pretty fair. Okay.
I'm not Simmons. I'm not Bill Simmons. I'm not the Picasso of the trade machine. But I'm learning. I'm like I don't
the
know.
Matisse.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm the Matisse yet. I may be like, you know, I'm an art major at Columbia or something. Like I'm an art major at a decent school. I'm getting better, but I'm not there yet.
You're the guy that took that that answer that commercial where you had to draw the like little turtle and mail it in. You ever see that?
No, I didn't see that.
No, there was always this really like shady shady art school where they were like, just draw this picture, and if you're good at drawing this picture, and it was always like a cartoon turtle.
Oh, really?
And
really?
If you did that, like somehow that was your test
that's
to get
your,
into the school.
That's your acceptance?
Yeah, as soon as you paid the money, of course.
That guy of
you're
the
that
trade
guy.
Machine.
Okay, of the
All right,
trade
this
machine.
Next
okay,
one.
Great.
I don't think I would do this, but this is sort of operating under the assumption that Doc Rivers is not the best GM.
Okay, great. Assumed.
And that the Clippers kind of want to move on from Blake Griffin because of this whole punching stuff. And I mean, it hasn't, they have the timeline hasn't come out yet, but he had to have a second surgery on his hand. So he might not be back anytime soon.
Wow.
Blake Griffin.
Okay.
And Lance Stephenson.
Okay.
For Kevin Love and Iman Shumpert.
Wow.
So if you're the Cavs, here's my thinking if I'm the Cavs. I think we're better with Blake Griffin than we are with Kevin Love. And
yes, I agree.
Kevin and Blake Griffin, maybe he's not back for the playoffs, but we're the Cavs. We're going to cruise to the finals. So we just need to make sure he's ready for the finals.
Ooh.
On the Clippers side, you get off of Blake Griffin. You're tired of him. You get Kevin Love back. Kevin Love, you know, he's an LA guy or he went to college here. And you get Shump. Shump's a decent player too. Because I think you can't just do Griffin for Love because I think Love is, you know, worse than Blake Griffin. So throwing in Shump kind of makes it a little more palatable for the Clippers.
Oh, man, that's tough. I think that's also tough because if you're the Cavs, like, you kind of have a shot. You have a legit shot at winning it.
I don't think they have a shot this year. I don't think that with their current team, I don't think they have a shot.
I think they have a shot because in the way that they will make it to the finals. And if you're in the finals, anything could happen. So
I mean, like,
they have more
of
a shot this year than to wait next year and hope something else happens.
That's what everyone says, but do you really want to bet on an injury? I mean, basically, that's what you're saying. You're saying, I'm going to make it to the finals, and I'm betting that Golden State will get injured. Someone on Golden State will get injured, or someone on San Antonio will get injured. I don't know.
Well, they also won 2 games last year in the finals.
Oh, again with this. This is the argument we always have.
I know.
That series was not even close. End of story.
Yeah, not close. They only won 2 games with an injured team. So,
all right. So, do you do the trade or not?
Ugh, that one's tough. If I'm the Clippers, yeah. If Blake's going to be hurt,
all right. So basically, you're approving all my trades.
Yeah.
What about this one? Kyrie Irving.
Okay.
And Anderson Varejao.
Okay.
This is just for salary purposes.
Yeah, because he's garbage.
Yeah, for Chris Paul. This one's been rumored a lot, but I want to get your take on it. Because, okay, for new listeners of the podcast, I'm a known Kyrie hater. I think Kyrie is very injury-prone. I think I have a bet. I think I have a bet with you, John, that Kyrie will only make 2 more All-Star games.
Nah,
meaning, like,
he'll make more than 2.
Okay, well, that's why you have a bet. I don't think he's ever been healthy for a full season, and I see it just getting worse as time goes on. So if I'm the Cavs, that's the incentive. I get off Kyrie, I get Chris Paul, who helps with the current timeline. If I'm the Clippers, I do it just because, you know, it's Kyrie Irving. He is an all-star, and he's younger.
And that would, I think it helps both teams on the timelines. I think it just comes down to does LeBron want to play with Chris Paul or does he want to play with Kyrie?
Okay, so here I have to go to my anonymous sources.
Your anonymous sources? Okay.
I do have anonymous sources in LeBron's camp that Kyrie and LeBron are quite close and that the Cavs would never trade Kyrie. So it's a bit of a pipe dream, but...
so I wouldn't do it.
Look for that all over the internet tomorrow.
Yep.
Hill, anonymous sources, reports Kyrie and LeBron are friends.
That's great.
Final.
I had a source this weekend. I ran into a source, anonymous source.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah. Tell. Yeah,
I was at a party, and anonymous source says that Blake Griffin and the guy he punched are like best friends.
Oh yeah, everyone says that though.
But I got it from my source. Now, I can confirm. Yeah,
I was on the internet this week, and I saw that as well.
Yeah, no. I'll tell you off camera. It's a legit source.
Ooh, a legit source.
Someone, yeah, I'll tell you after.
Okay, did your legit source say they're still friends? Was it just like kind of a night that sort of took a turn for the worse? Or
all he said was, wow. He said they're really close. Uh-huh. This is a Clippers source.
Okay,
former Clippers.
So is your source Doc Rivers?
It's Doc Rivers, but I call him Glenn.
You're at a party with Doc.
I was at a party with Glenn. Yeah,
John. John! That's my Doc Rivers.
You know, they're friends.
They're best friends.
Why are they a bunch of best friends?
It's two horrible Doc Rivers impressions.
Yeah, the two horrible. Yeah. That's the horrible Doc Rivers duel.
Welcome to Super Hoopers.
Are they still friends? No, you didn't get it.
We don't know. That's all I know is that.
What was the follow-up question? How come there was no follow-up question?
No, I just heard it. It was a different...
He was talking to someone else? How come he didn't butt in?
Well, because it was like I met the source after he yelled that thing out, and then I asked him about other things.
What, he just yelled it to the whole party? Hey, everyone! Blake Griffin and the trainer, Matt Testy, or whatever his name is, Matthias Testy, your best friends.
He came into the party, and someone was like, hey, oh, dude, what about Blake? You know him. And he was like, yeah, no, they're best friends. I don't know what happened. It must have been serious. And then later I talked to him about other stuff.
What other stuff can you divulge?
No, he's anonymous source. It's source.
Oh man, well that's why he's anonymous. You can divulge stuff. All right, final trade for you, John. Carmelo Anthony for Goran Dragic.
Oh,
and also you have to throw in Chris Anderson to make the salaries match. But basically, Carmelo Anthony for Goran Dragic.
Oh, I would. If I was the Knicks, I would never do that.
Why not? You need a point guard. Your best player is Kristaps Porzingis, who's 18 years old. You need a guy who's younger than Carmelo. I mean, Carmelo's like 31 or 32. Like you get younger, you get the point guard that you need to help.
But how much younger is Dragic? He's not that young.
I think Dragic's like 27 or 28.
So he's not that young. And he's playing horrible this year. He's not playing well.
Yeah, he is.
And you're
going to
trade
the face of your franchise,
guy who puts people into MSG, and you're going to trade him for like a mediocre playing point guard?
The guy
that the Suns gave away?
Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Goran Dragic is 29.
Yeah. So you're going to get 1 year younger.
Hey, in my defense, he's a young 29, John.
He doesn't
have that many NBA miles, okay?
Oh, my God. No.
It's a good trade.
Move.
It's a good trade.
If you're
it's
the
a
heat,
good trade. Let's call
Phil.
Heat,
you
let's call Phil.
Do it.
So you say that the New York Knicks don't do that trade?
No, it's a horrible trade.
If you're Carmelo Anthony, are you stoked on that trade? Would you be happy to go to Miami, play with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh?
Yeah, absolutely.
So Carmelo has a no trade clause. So you think he's like, yeah, I'm going to Miami.
Oh yeah, and then he doesn't have to wait. If he joined Miami, that'd be a pretty solid East team.
If I'm Miami, I think watch Miami. If I'm Miami, I'm making moves, man. I'm trading. I think Dragic has real value.
If I was Miami, I would try Dragic.
Or Winslow.
Whiteside and Winslow for Carmelo.
Whiteside doesn't have much value because you can't really re-sign him. So it's like wherever he goes.
He has a weird contract.
Yeah. So Whiteside doesn't have that much value. Also, he seems like he's lunatic. So I don't know if teams will be reticent to take him.
Hmm. Yeah. No, if I was Miami, I'd trade Winslow. And
Here's what I do if I'm Miami, okay? Yeah, I trade Dragic for Carmelo. In my world, this trade works, okay?
Okay, sure.
I trade. Okay,
just get LeBron in your world too.
I trade Justice Winslow. This is just off the top of the dome. I trade Justice Winslow for Jeff Teague. Okay, I think the Hawks do that. We know Teague's on the market.
Okay, that's.
So now
I would do that.
Now we get a point guard. We got Jeff Teague, we got Carmelo, we got Wade, we got Bosch, and I trade Whiteside for Rudy Gay. And maybe I see if I can get a shooter along with them, like Bellinelli or something like that from Sacramento.
Oh my God.
The reason for that, just because I want Whiteside and DeMarcus Cousins and Willie Cauley-Stein all on the same teams, all lunatic centers who are like just going to burn the building to the ground.
Okay. I will approve that trade just for that. Just for that alone.
Just for the Kings? Just for the Kings? Who coaches? Who would you get
the melting of
the
smoothie
Kings?
Center.
Like, gosh.
You know who I would get? Boogie player coach.
You know who I would get to coach that team? PJ Carlissimo. the guy who Latrell Sprewell coached. Just to see what would happen.
That'd be great. What I would do is just re-sign George Karl. Fire him. Then re-sign him for $20 million guaranteed. Because if you're going to Kings, go full Kings.
Go full Kings.
Never go full Kings.
Wouldn't that be amazing? That would be so Kings of them.
That'd be
if they
best.
Fire George Karl, and then this summer they do a coaching search, and they realize George Karl's the best coach.
And they rehire him. That'd be so good. God bless Vivek.
That would be. I want to see. You know what? Vivek is this the clown running this show. Vivek Ranadive, the owner of the Sacramento Kings. He should coach the Kings. Can you imagine that?
Dude,
and you know his daughter is a pop star.
Four on five cherry picking. It'd be great.
Oh yeah, 4-on-5, and he has the daughter Angeli, I think her name, and she's the assistant coach. You know you're breaking some ground there. I mean, I know they already have a female assistant coach, but two, that's even breaking more ground.
Yeah, that would be
first Indian head coach.
That would be great for women's rights. Is bypass the legit women's coach for your daughter, the pop star. Yeah,
John, you're joking, but can you imagine how great it would be for women's rights if she was really good at the job? Then it's like even better. We had this unqualified woman off the street, and she was a great coach.
Oh my God!
Sacramento Kings, get at me, get at us. We'll fix your mess.
Don't go full Kings.
Well, okay. So we figured out. You know, we've made a bunch of trades. We've shaken up the league, John. Now I think it's time to shake up the television broadcast. So last weekend, ABC, they added a new wrinkle to the broadcast where they light up the 3-point line. When a player attempts the three. Did you see it? Did you watch the game?
I did not see it, no.
You didn't see it? Do you think it's a good idea? I mean, I kind of support any sort of weird gimmicks attached to the game. So if ABC wants to do that, I say more power to them.
I don't know. Was it cool?
I didn't see it either. You know what's
crazy?
Wait,
did it actually? I don't know if it happened. I thought it was just a test.
I don't know if it happened because I watched. They said they were going to do it, and then I watched the game, and I never noticed it.
No. I think it was a test.
You think it was a test?
I thought it was like they now have the technology.
They have it. They're just waiting for the right time to roll it out.
I don't think they did it.
Well, I'm sure someone will correct us, you know, and we'll be made to look like the fools that we always are.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, but I was thinking that, you know, I have some ideas for the league. Again, you know, Silver, get at me. I always got ideas.
Always got ideas to improve.
Along this line, you know, adding stuff to the broadcast, adding virtual stuff to make it better. So the first one I think is obvious, and it's just the NBA Jam thing. If a player makes two baskets in a row, the ball's on fire now.
Wow, just two?
Just two, because I don't think it's going to happen that much. Like, I think, how often does a guy make two in a row? It only happens because you don't want it to happen so rare. You want to see it like at least once a game. So I think, you know, once he makes two in a row, when he touches the ball's on fire. So it's not like the ball's on fire all the time. It's just when he touches it again, we add flames to the, you know, to the ball. I think that's easy to do. You just put a chip in the ball.
Yeah.
So you always know where it is. You add the After Effects flames. You know, you put it in. It's easy to comp in, right?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, we've both done visual effects.
I mean, they did it with the hockey puck. I think they can do it.
Yeah, they did it with the hockey puck. They do it with the ball. Now it's on fire. You know, Steph, can you imagine Steph Curry? It's on fire. He shoots again. It's even more on fire. He keeps shooting. He keeps making it. And players, I think players would love it too. Like they're, you know, they'd be incentivized to, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's the wrong incentives, but it'd be fun.
No, see, that's why I think it should be three. Because, you know, you don't want
it's
like
too rare.
To make it rare. Because
all right, well, okay,
if you get two, then you're like, whoa, come on, let's get him the
ball. That's not okay. Yeah. Let's compromise. 2.5.
2.5. Yep.
Two and a foul shot. Now, the next one, I've heard of this before, and I can't remember where I heard of it, but it's kind of obvious. Again, it comes from Antoine. What's his name? Antoine Walker. Who's it? They asked him, why does he shoot so many threes? He says, because there's no fours.
That's great.
So I say, let's add a four. Let's add a four-point line. It's just make it the half court. Make it the half court line is 4 points. What? And it only starts if a team's down by more than 20 points or it's the fourth quarter.
Ooh.
So the game's just going. It's regular. But once a team gets down by 20 or we're in the fourth quarter, then boom, the half court lights up. The four-pointer is now open. You know, and you could think of the implications. Players will have their half court specialist. It's like, you know, some little white guy who's like all his only skill is to shoot half court, basically.
Yeah. I kind of like
right?
that. I also think it might be fun to like move it around.
Oh,
so like
nice.
So like it just kind of randomly moves. So it's like, oh, there it is. And you're hoping like, you know, that like at one point it's not half court. It's like a little closer. So you kind of save it and you're kind of guessing. And you're like, oh, okay, do I take it? I don't know. Yeah.
Here's what we do. As they keep going down by more than 20, it keeps moving closer and closer.
Oh.
It like evens the playing field. So yeah. if you're going down by like 21, 22, it starts inching closer and closer. And then like, you know, if you're down by 50 or something, it's just like right in front of
the
basket.
It's just right there.
It's just basically a layup is counted as four now.
Yeah, no, this is great. We should definitely reward bad teams.
We already do it via the draft.
Yeah,
I mean, it's already there.
Let's just keep going.
It's like the CPU assist in video games. You know,
yeah,
you go
yeah,
way down,
yeah.
The computer starts helping you.
There was an old arcade game called Pigskin. And if you're losing a lot, this green goblin would show up and you would always win.
Wait, what the green goblin just
well,
was pigs, on your team?
Pigskin was like, it was like Vikings versus like savages.
Well, why'd they call it Pigskin? Were they playing football?
Yeah, but it was like actually made out of like a pig skin.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
It was football. Classic.
But they were
game.
Playing with
classic,
an actual pig.
Yep. And then if you were losing by a lot, this green goblin would come in. He was indestructible. Right? And you used to purposely lose so that the green goblin would come back.
Okay. Yeah. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Let's do it in the NBA, but with mascots.
Okay.
If you're down by enough, the mascot can now be your sixth man. He could play. You could bring the mascot out, and he could be on the court with you.
How about this rule?
Uh-huh.
If you're down by 20, the other team gets to pick one guy on the other team that has to play.
Oh, I like that.
So you're
like
all right, you're down by 25. It's a fourth quarter. It's like, you know what? Sorry, you have to play.
Nick Stauskas, you have to play.
You have to play. You have to. Elton Brand, you're in.
Whoever the worst guy on the Warriors is.
Which is
Jason Thompson, maybe?
Probably Jason Thompson. Jason Thompson, you have to play.
Right. Yeah. I like it. Sasha Vujicic, you're in. You're in for the Knicks.
You're in. Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. I mean, the Spurs would just win by even more because the Spurs basically have no bad players.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my last one.
All right.
Inspired by Back to the Future, classic movie. You know how Marty McFly starts fading?
Mm.
Like as, you know, as things get worse, he starts fading out. I suggest we do the same thing with players as they get more fouls. Maybe after the fourth or fifth foul, the player starts like fading or like blinking, you know, like,
okay.
You're almost done. You're almost done. Again, the technology exists. You have, you know, it's just a matter of putting sensors on the player's body and then you just sort of drop the opacity in After Effects.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
I think you could do it.
Let's do it. Let's go full stop. Like, I think like, George Karl should have been fading at the last game.
Oh, that would be so
like,
great.
You know, Hornets. Yeah. Basically anytime you lose to the Sixers, it's, you're just like really faded and just like, oh, he's not going to make it. Oh,
that would be amazing. Can you imagine if George Karl had no idea he was going to get fired, and then he watches the broadcast later? He's like, "What? I'm fading.
What?
I'm
What's fading. Going on?" Yeah,
and the GM has control. The GM has like a little knob.
Yeah,
and he's just like,
Yep, that's great. I love it.
Yeah, that's how you know. Like, and then Pop is just net. Like, you can't even, like, the knob doesn't even move. Like,
no,
RC can't even touch the knob.
No, it's in like a vault somewhere.
You know what it should do is Pop should have that for the sideline interviews, where like if they ask dumb questions, he just fades the reporter out.
Pop would fade himself out. He would
just Pop. Yeah, that Pop would too. That's the only time RC Buford would use it.
Here's an idea. How about every time, like, you know, we see a guy waving a towel that never plays, like they post his like salary above his head. You know what I mean?
Well, this is an idea I always had.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, but that guy got paid $120,000 to wave the towel today.
Oh yeah, there should be like a, instead of their number being their number should be how much they made during the course of the game. So as the game goes on, the number counts up and counts up and counts up. So like Kobe would, like by the end of the game, his number would be 250,000 or something.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
I always had this idea that I wanted to market a necklace that was just like a digital display of your bank account. Like, so it was like, you know, if you're a rich dude, it's like, that's like the ultimate bling. It just had, you could just see how much money's in your bank account.
Yeah.
You know, right on your neck.
Yeah. That'd be great. I could see
Yeah. I don't know why I never did that. My necklace would be quite high.
Your necklace would be like a post-it note on a shoestring.
Oh, my current bank account? Oh, yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That would be bad news. All right. So, okay, I think we fixed the broadcast. Now, let's go to our most popular segment, John, Get At Me, Dog.
Get At Me, Dog.
For new listeners, the way it works is each week, John and I tweet at an NBA player, and we get points for if the player responds, retweets, favorites, whatever happens, and negative points if the player blocks us. So, this week's player was Jason Richardson. Oh, we only get one tweet.
Yep.
So my tweet to Jason Richardson was, yo, we believe Warriors versus this year's Warriors. How many points do you beat them by?
Pretty good take.
Yeah, you know, I figure compliment the guy. I also realized there was a typo in it, so, but anyway.
Which might help.
Sure. Might help. Well, yeah, I don't like what you're saying about Mr.
NBA
Jason
players
Richardson.
Always retweet, like, typos. That's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm thinking like he sees it. He's like, oh, the, you know, this guy is really complimenting me, all this, you know?
Yeah. I did the same thing. I went very similar.
Okay. So what'd you do?
Okay. So I know I read that Jay Rich was hanging out in Philadelphia recently. He was with the team. So I went that angle. So I went at Jay Rich 23. Hey, Jay Rich, whatcha think about the young fellas in Philly? Hashtag trust the process or nah? ? Mm-hmm. Hashtag Jay Rich.
Oh, nice.
Hashtag the slam dunk champ. Uh-huh. Hashtag Mr. Through the Legs. Hashtag 76. I was watching his slam dunks this weekend.
Yeah, Jay Rich, man. Jay Rich, very underrated dunker. All right, so we reveal... Did he respond to you, John?
No.
He did not respond
he
to me
did
either.
Not. So. Ah, man.
So we've been playing this game for 5 weeks, and it's 0-0.
It is 0-0. You know who did? A friend of the podcast, Dave Futernick, tried too.
Uh-huh.
So he wrote, at Jay Rich, bruh, my friend Jason Richard is having a baby boy and any day now, and I will only refer to it as Jason Richard's son. Cool with you?
Nice.
It's good time.
Good job. Good job, friend of the pod. And anything?
I liked it and I retweeted it. So no. The answer is no, but
man,
good job.
But John, dude, I mean, this game, for me, from my perspective, it's such a good, fun game, tweeting at players, but we've gotten no responses. 0-0.
That's all right,
we've
man.
Been so unsuccessful. Do you think that we're doing something wrong? Do you think, like, is there a way we can... Okay.
No,
I have an
idea. We just gotta believe.
You know what I'm thinking? You know what I'm thinking of doing this week? I think I'm gonna replace my profile picture with a hot girl and see.
That's a good one. Okay, who
I
should
think
we do
I'm
it? Then?
Do that.
All right. So who should we go? Who are we doing this week?
Let's pick let's pick someone. We always pick someone obscure because we think it's going to be better. So let's go. I'd say let's go Trey Lyles.
Trey Lyles. Ooh.
I'm just pulling a random player.
Let's see Trey Lyles. What do we got? All right.
Trey Lyles. Good. All right. So next week.
Get at me, dog, Trey Lyles.
Another recurring segment on this show is John's a huge Sixers fan. Obviously, no one cares about the 76ers. What? But for every win that the 76ers get, John gets to talk about them for a minute straight. So, Mr. John Hill, are you ready? First of all, did they win?
They did. They beat the Nets.
Oh, okay. All right. I don't really keep up with them. So, yep. You know.
They took the Clippers to overtime tonight, but they lost.
Oh.
It was so close. I thought I had two. I thought I was going to have 2 minutes.
You're going to have 2 minutes for our listeners.
Yeah, but just 1 minute.
All right. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready enough.
All right. Go.
So, Sixers fans out there, I want to address some of the haters of the Sixers. When I was watching the Nets game, the Nets announcers were starting off and really, really dogging the Sixers, saying how, "Oh, I don't know any of these players. I don't watch this team." You're the Nets, all right? You have no right to tell Sixers fans that they're not a real team. You are garbage. And then I look at this in the newspaper, talking about Duke, and then they talk about Jahlil Okafor, whom. And then they say, if minutes for the Sixers can be called meaningful, why are you taking a shot at the Sixers? Why are you doing that? That's not cool. Don't do that. If you guys notice, there's a lot of trash heaps of basketball teams this year. Let's see. We've lost 3 coaches so far this week. But notice how the Sixers still have their coach. So maybe don't talk trash about it.
All right, your time. That's your time.
Ooh, that was good.
What's the third coach that we lost this week?
We lost
George Karl. We lost Derek Fisher. Who's the other one?
Hornacek.
Oh,
so I guess that was last week.
I just assumed Hornacek was like already gone. Like I just in December, I assumed he was gone.
No. If you lose to the Sixers, you get fired. That's the
man.
Worst.
There's players been a lot of coach firing.
Yeah.
All right. So we're winding down the podcast. At the end of every podcast, John and I like to shout out and beef with people. I got some beefs, John.
You got beefs?
I got a lot of beef this week.
What kind of beefs you got?
I got so much beef this week. First, I'm beefing with the Warriors. Reports last week came out the Warriors want to trade for Durant. Come on. What are you doing? Don't do it. Don't even think about it. Your team, you have basically the greatest team of all time. Why are you trying to mess with it? I don't care. I don't care if he's Kevin Durant. Don't do it, Warriors. You're getting greedy. This is like the story of every downfall. You know, pride goeth before the fall. John, Warriors, I'm beefing with you. Don't sign Kevin Durant.
Do you think he would actually go there?
Yeah, of course. Why would you not go to Golden State, man? Play with Steph Curry, live in the Bay. You got that great fan base. You got those beautiful uniforms, especially coming from OKC with the ugliest uniforms in the league. Kevin Durant has to wear that garbage every night. And he's like, finally I get some clean unis. Dude, he would go for sure.
You know where he really should go?
Where? The 76ers?
The Cavs. If Golden State wins it again, he should go to the Cavs. Because the only way you're going to beat Golden State is a super team and Durant and LeBron and Kyrie. Like, just do it.
But
they don't have a small forward.
They don't have the cap space to sign him outright. Like, they would need to trade. They need to make a trade with OKC.
All right.
So,
do it.
I mean, maybe they could trade Kevin. Actually, you know what? That'd be a good trade. Kevin Love and Russell Westbrook were college teammates.
Get rid of Vergeal. How much does he make?
Kevin Love. 10
million?
Kevin Love. I think Kevin Love could get it done. If Kevin Durant says, I'm leaving anyways, OKC has got to do that trade.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's intriguing. That is very intriguing.
Don't go to the team that won. Go to the team that can't. Go to the team. Oh. The only chance you have of beating the team.
I like that. Put that in the trade segment.
Segment. All right.
Kevin Durant says, "Hey, I'm not going. I'm leaving. Trade me to the Cavs." Ooh, delicious.
That'd be good. Yeah.
I got some more beef.
You got more beefs?
I got
Damn,
a lot of beef.
Dog.
Sorry.
Damn, Bovine University over here.
Yep, dude. The Wolves, the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah.
My beef is. Why are you so bad? Like, what's wrong with this team? You have like a billion first-round picks. You've got Wiggins. You got Towns. You got Kate. You have the supposed veteran leadership. You have Ricky Rubio. Why are you bad? Do you know, John?
They're horrible. They're just not a good organization.
Why don't they get more crap for it? It's like you have all this stuff, and you're barely better than this. Everyone gives the 76ers crap, like, oh, they're like some like embarrassment to basketball. Here, the Timberwolves, who have nothing but first rounders, like some of the best talent in the league, and they have like 12 wins or something. They lost to the Lakers.
Oh, you're telling me, dude. I'm the guy that has to hear, like, or not just me, all Sixers fans have to be like, that's how you rebuild.
That's how you rebuild, dude.
They've been rebuilding for a decade.
Yeah, and also it's like Karl Towns and Wiggins are like infinitely better than anyone on the 76ers.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not, they have other talent too. Shabazz and Zach LaVine and, you know.
Ricky Rubio was the top
pick. Yeah, Ricky Rubio. It's like.
Yeah, because they don't know what they're doing. Horrible coaching, horrible GMs. Decades, they couldn't do anything with Kevin Love. They barely did anything with Kevin Garnett. Yeah, no.
It's ridiculous.
That's why
Sam Mitchell must be the worst coach ever. Like, they don't deserve that franchise. I say just shutter it. Just get rid of it. Disperse those players elsewhere. You guys can't win. You're done. Sorry. They have 12 wins or something ridiculous.
That is, like, the one thing that Sixers fans take solace in during this tanking process is, yeah, like, we're not those other teams. Like, I'd rather
be
where
we're
at.
No, but come on, John. Come on, John. You would rather be the Wolves, though.
No.
But they have such better talent than the Sixers.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. They've always had better talent. I mean, the Kings have better talent than the Sixers, but I wouldn't want to be the Kings.
You're saying the organization somehow.
Yeah, ownership and GM, and they're good to go. I trust us more than I trust them.
All right. You heard it here first. 76ers better than the Wolves.
Yeah. Shout out to the way you say Wolves.
How do I say it? Wolves?
You say Wolves.
Well, hey.
There's
look,
no this... L. I've noticed that. I didn't want to tell you, but I kind of like it.
Yeah, Wolves. Thanks. Yeah, Wolves. That's just where I'm from. This is how we do things.
I know.
They don't deserve... Actually, you know what? They should have all the L's.
Yeah, exactly.
They should really pronounce it Wolves. Bunch of losers. Get out of here. Get out of here, Sam Mitchell.
And the sad part is a lot of people aren't liking Wiggins. They're kind of
What's wrong with Wiggins? I love Wiggins. I always say I think Wiggins looks like the Twix rabbit. And I just like the way he looks. He's so bouncy. He reminds me of Corey Brewer.
Yeah, but
he just got soul, man. He's got style. I like him.
He does, but a lot... I know some of the Wolves writer are writing like, what's going on? I think he'll be fine.
You have Karl Anthony Towns, who's like a generational talent. Like, you just need Wolves. You just need Wiggins to be like, I don't know. You need Wiggins to be like a borderline all-star, I guess. Or even worse, like, he just needs to be a good second banana. I think he's a great second banana.
Yeah, well, we'll see. They're still young.
Get these writers out of there, man. You got all these good players. Zach LaVine.
We'll see about him. It's fine. We'll see.
I'm beefing with... this is staple.
So
staple of beef. The podcast. Yeah, I got a lot of beef this week. Sorry.
Man,
staple
angry.
Of the podcast. I'm beefing with DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins, the human YouTube... YouTube comment section come to life.
So mean. Why would you say that?
That's what he is, man. That's his personality.
Comment section is
DeMarcus
like...
Cousins. This is DeMarcus Cousins. He's like a great YouTube video, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so sorry, like his style of play, his basketball ability is the YouTube video, but his personality is the comment section. Okay? That is what DeMarcus Cousins is, all right? This fool. this dickhead. This jabroni. Did you read about what he did last week, John?
What did he do?
He sees it's February 1st, right? He sees that the Kings have laid out nice T-shirts for Chinese New Year. The T-shirts have a monkey.
I did see this.
Have a monkey on it, and it says "Happy Lunar New Year, Year of the Monkey," and has the monkey and a king symbol, right?
Mm-hmm.
DeMarcus Cousins takes offense to this because it's the first day of Black History Month and there's a monkey, which is like just racist to just assume like, anyways, it's almost like racist on his part. I don't want to get in trouble, but like, and he makes the freaking the staff like remove the t-shirts from the entire arena. Like I showed so many people this. I showed many people of all races these t-shirts and was like, is this offensive in any way? Not a single person said it was offensive, because it clearly says what it's for. Happy Lunar New Year, Year of the Monkey. It makes it very clear what it's for. There's no way to misconstrue it. So I think DeMarcus Cousins just wanted to assert, like, he's just bullying people. He's just like, oh, this isn't cool. Get rid of these t-shirts. They have a monkey on it.
Maybe he's never heard of Chinese New Year.
Yeah, I also think that. I also think he has no idea what Chinese New Year is, and he thinks it was, like, made up to make fun of him or something. The worst. DeMarcus Cousins is the worst.
Man, I didn't know you loved Chinese New Year that much.
It's a tradition. It's like China is the biggest country in the world, man. They got this thing, you know, let them have their thing.
Yeah, tell me about Chinese New Year's, man.
It's a thing that happens in February. My Chinese friends got envelopes of money.
Yeah?
When they were kids. That's all.
You watched Fresh Off the Boat. You just watched the episode of Fresh Off the Boat. And that's,
no,
you
I had Chinese.
It.
My best friend is Chinese. John, come on, man.
No, he's not. I'm your best friend.
Yeah, he is. Okay, you're yeah, right. Actually, actually, I should. Let me call him. We should do an on-air podcast where I call my ex-best friend, Ray, and let him know that you're my best friend now. That would be an awesome one. Hey, Ray, you've been demoted. John Hill's my best friend now. That would be amazing. All I had was those beefs this week. I have no shout-outs, John.
You have no shout-outs?
None. I have no one to shout-out. Who am I supposed to shout-out? It's just been nothing but beef this week.
Shout-out Ray, your childhood Chinese friend.
No, I told you. I don't even like him that much anymore.
You don't
he's
even like
he's
him
getting
anymore.
Demoted from my best friend.
Oh, man. That's messed up.
Don't worry, he doesn't listen to this because he doesn't support my creative endeavors. hence his pending demotion.
Yeah, I know who I'm going to shout out. You know who I'm going to shout out?
Who are you going to shout out?
I'm going to shout out Steph Curry.
Ooh, rough one.
And here's why.
I'm gonna beef with Steph Curry. Go ahead and shout him out.
Shout out Steph Curry because he's a huge Carolina Panthers fan.
Right.
And he was talking trash. They lost.
Yep.
And then he tweeted out the picture of him banging the giant gong.
Uh-huh.
But
yep,
it had
I saw this.
Jordan's crying meme face on it.
You're shouting him out for that.
I think that's I think he understood that, yeah. Like he talked a lot of game and this is what he has to suffer.
John, yeah. No.
That's him admitting that he was wrong.
I know. I like the sentiment, but the crying Jordan meme is the least funny thing in the entire world. It has never been funny. Every time, I wish I could block people. Actually, I might just start doing that. If you use the crying Jordan meme on Twitter, you're blocked. You're done. Steph Curry, you're blocked. It's not funny. I don't want to see it ever again.
You know, here's the thing. I kind of share the sentiment you have, but I will admit that once in a while...
You also shared the inability to pronounce sentiment.
What? You know, English wasn't my first language. But I do like the idea that every once in a while they surprise me. There's someone on the internet that will somehow...
Get a crying Jordan meme that works.
Somewhere where I'm like, wow, you know, I thought this thing was dead, but nope, you did a good job.
That's what I'm saying is that when it comes to comedy, we hold the athletes to such low standards. It's like, let's hold them to higher standards. It's like... You know, that's just not a good joke, Steph. There got to be a better joke for losing to Carolina.
Yeah, but
losing to the Broncos.
But I think what I respected was
trying.
It was a risky thing because, you know, there could be backlash. Like, why are you disrespecting Jordan?
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like, he went, because, like, that's what he's doing. Like, he took the greatest basketball player of all time crying. And the crying Jordan meme, like, remember, he's, like, sharing his emotions. Like, it's all right. And we mock him. And, look, we can mock him because Jordan's probably a horrible person in real life, from all accounts. But it's very disrespectful to the game, right?
Yeah, he disrespects
Like
the
we
game.
Wouldn't do that to, like, you know.
Who? Like, to Bill Russell or
we
something?
We would never do that to Bill Russell. or Kareem or anything like that.
Oh, we would do it to Kareem. Kareem would do it himself. I got beef with Kareem, dude. Kareem saying Kareem out here saying that Dirk Nowitzki is a one-trick pony. Come on, Kareem. Come on.
All right.
Come on. You know Dirk is the best.
All right.
Shout out to Dirk just for being Dirk, man. I'll shout out Dirk. I just love Dirk.
Yeah, Dirk is great.
Thanks for still being... Dude, Dirk and Tim Duncan, man. Thank you for still being in the league.
Yeah, they're killing it. They're killing it. Way to be old.
Shout out to the B-Ball Breakdown Network as well.
Yes, thank you so much, Coach Nick.
Our new home. You could find me on Twitter at Tweet of Matt Hill. You could find John at
JHillNamin.
You could find our podcast at The Super Hoopers on Twitter as well. Thanks for listening. Until next week, keep hooping.
Have you ever been to a volcano when it was erupting?
You're now listening to Super Hoopers.
They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game.
Super Hoopers! Can you dig it? Super Hoopers!
That's what you say, bro.
We just formed a fucking wall!
Super Hoopers!
I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice.
Super Hoopers!
That's terrible.